What is peace? What do we mean when we use that word?
I actually am very, very fearful that the peace that we have now is so fragile.
In the spring of 2019, live artist and theatre director Neil Bartlett spent 6 months crisscrossing the country, seeking out and interviewing 100 remarkable peace workers.
Enough people have died and there's been enough blood spilt on these islands.
All of us know what it's like to feel helpless in the face of violence, to hear of an atrocity, and to feel like we can make no adequate response, either to the act or to the conflict itself. Here are two individuals, a wife and her husband living in suburban Dublin, who took remarkable action in 1993 in response to the troubles of Northern Ireland moving to mainland Britain. At the time, they received plenty of criticism for being too apolitical in their protest. But in hindsight, what they did undoubtedly contributed to the groundswell of shifting opinion that enabled the still continuing peace process in Ireland, which is no mean feat, given how intractable the conflict was assumed to be.
I would say that many wars are...
For Neil, spending an afternoon with Susan and Arthur McHugh and hearing them talk about what they did was unforgettable.
Let me go back to the 20th of March 1993. As uniquely appalling in some ways as the Warrington bomb was, it wasn't the first one. So did it feel far away, what was going on?
Mm. Back in at the time of the Warrington bombing, most people in the south would have had, very scant knowledge of the detail, but were just kind of bewildered all the time as to why things were happening and why it couldn't stop and all this kind of thing.
I would have seen it. We would have seen it on the television. You lose people, parents or husbands, from natural, normal causes that you can't do anything about. Mm. But to actually go and plant a bomb outside McDonald's. Now, who goes to McDonald's? It's children, mostly. Mm. And for a three-year-old to be dead as a result. I just felt I had to do something about it. So I thought, where could we have a meeting in Dublin where ordinary people could stand up and more or less be counted? Because I felt the majority of Irish people would stand up like me and condemn that bomb.
Had you ever organised a public meeting before in your life?
No, I just felt inside I couldn't be alone in this. So there was a talk show called Liveline on RTE Radio where people can ring up and discuss different opinions about different issues. And I got on and I spoke and I said that I was going to have a meeting in Trinity on the Wednesday evening. And then that was the start of the whole thing.
The mayhem.
When we got to Trinity, the room was full of people.
There was as many people outside who couldn't get in.
We didn't go to Trinity with a plan of having a rally on the Sunday.
No. Right.
The thing about the rally on the Sunday came up at the meeting in Trinity. It was this impetus, this feeling, this wanting to do something else. To stand up and say what had happened in Warrington was so wrong. I think it just touched a nerve. I never... Ever, from the very beginning of the phone call when I made, I never thought of them as English children or Irish children or French or American or German children. They were children to me. Mm. They were children to me. All violence is wrong. Mm. And the death of a child in the north of Ireland is of equal importance as the death of a child in England.
If you could pick one memory from the rally itself, what sticks from the night?
People have asked me this, how did you stand up and address a crowd of over 20,000 or something? Were you not afraid? And again, feeling that I had inside the wrongness of what happened and the feeling I had to speak out. A little boy standing in the crowd facing me holding a banner saying, I am not a legitimate target. And that could be universal. That child with that poster could be universal in my mind.
Mm. What would have peace looked like or felt like in 93?
For me, I suppose it would be obviously a cessation of violence and a coming together of both sides and of talking and of respecting each other's differences. We were totally unaware that there were actually talks going on behind the scenes. We had no idea that this was happening.
We felt, in our side of the island, we felt in our everyday lives, it was peaceful. We looked down at what was going on in Northern Ireland.
Hmm.
You kind of throw up your hands, maybe, because you've no control over it. You can't,
no.
What can you do about it?
You didn't throw up your hands.
At times it wasn't an easy ride, no.
No.
The hurt of the people who had come down to the rally, who had lost loved ones through the plastic bullets and the soldiers, you know.
Yeah.
And the hurt too of our own Dublin people, because we had a bombing here, which actually, I think, killed the most people in all of the troubles. There was a bombing here in Dublin and one in Monaghan.
There's one in 1972, and then there's the big Dublin-Monaghan bomb in 74.
33 people, including a pregnant lady about to give birth, were killed in those bombings. And they had never really been recognised. They had never really been acknowledged. Horrendous hurt, yes. And yeah. Grief, an awful lot of grief. So it was like opening up a whole horrible, festered wound. And you were opening up this grief and wound, which never really had been acknowledged or been opened up.
Can't be all one-sided. If it's peace, you have to be inclusive, and nobody has a monopoly on suffering.
I was a mother of two children, and I felt I had to speak up of the wrongness of planting that bomb outside McDonald's. You don't know who you may have stopped picking up that gun.
Well, do you feel it made a difference?
Do I feel it made a difference? People, friends and people around me would say, yes, it did. The powers that be, the politicians, saw the mood in Dublin, saw the mood of the South of Ireland and what had happened. The IRA, later on, they apologised for Warrington. I think it probably took them all a bit by surprise, the rally and everything.
Yeah.
Hope it brought, dare I say, people to their senses. I think there should be a much, much stronger voice coming from the people who have actually been affected, the victims. But the Good Friday Agreement is just so, so important. It really is. The peace that we have now is so fragile.
Is there a moment in a room that you've been in where you've gone, well, that was conflict, this is peace?
We have a little boy in our family. He's a grandnephew, and his mum is Muslim, and his Irish Catholic dad. And he goes to a school called the Educate Together School. Last Christmas, we went to a Christmas show. And you had children here in Dublin at that Christmas show from lots of different religious backgrounds and none, having a Christmas concert up on the stage, looking at all those children, and then turning around and looking at the audience looking at those children.
Mm.
And it comes back to a very, very simple thing, is respecting each other's differences. And that, to me, is peace. Very simple.
I won't compete with that. That's good.
That's good.
Susan and Arthur are just two of the remarkable 100 voices who are part of my marathon performance, 24 Hours of Peace. Broadcast live on Resonance FM on Sunday, the 10th of November, Remembrance Sunday, 2019. 24 Hours of Peace is an act of witness to the work of peace, challenging received ideas and creating space for different stories and different voices to be heard on that day. You can find out more on the website www.24hoursofpeace.co.uk.
you.